A single sycamore fig feeds over 100 animal species, birds, monkeys, and even fish. The tree has no visible flowers, yet it bears fruit several times a year. And inside every fig, a generation of tiny wasps develops. Without them, there would be no new trees. I am the safari guide. My name is Frank, and today I will tell you about the sycamore fig. When I talk about the sycamore fig in this episode, I always mean the sycamore fig tree. But in this episode, it's not just about the tree itself, but about the vital relationship between the fig tree and the fig wasp. And let me tell you right away, it's going to get a little complicated. The sycamore fig grows mainly along rivers and in damp depressions, that is, in places where the soil can still store water during the dry season. And when you stand right in front of the tree, you immediately notice this is a very special tree. The tree's crown is wide-spreading, dark green, and dense. It's noticeably cooler underneath it. In the midday heat of the savanna, it becomes a natural source of shade for all kinds of animals, and of course, for us humans too. And now, close your eyes for just a moment. Unless, of course, you're sitting in a car or on a bicycle. If not, then close your eyes and imagine you're standing under this tree. Take a deep breath and listen. Do you hear the birds chirping or the insects buzzing? And up there in the crown, isn't something rustling loudly? Isn't the monkey just now making its escape? You can open your eyes now, and you'll surely notice those small round figs hanging from the trunk and the broad branches. They look a bit like grapes. And with these figs, we're right in the middle of the story of the relationship between the fig tree and the fig wasp. Because without the fig wasp, there is no pollination. Without pollination, there are no fruits. Without fruits, no seeds. And without seeds, no new trees. The mulberry fig has no visible flowers. There are no petals as we know them from other trees. In this tree, the flowers grow inside the fig. So the fig itself is not a fruit in the classical sense, but rather an inverted inflorescence with hundreds of individual flowers. If you cut open such a fig, you can see many small structures inside. These are individual tiny flowers. And this is where the fig wasps come into play. Fig wasps are tiny. They are so small that you can hardly see them with the naked eye. So they're about 1 millimeter long. They have a metallic, shimmering brown body. Now, a tiny female fig wasp lands on a firm, still unripe green fig. At the tip of the fig, there's a tiny opening called the osteole. The wasp squeezes itself through this tiny opening. In the process, it usually loses its wings and sometimes even its antennae. But she wants to get inside. And she has to get inside because inside this still green fig, she lays her eggs. However, the wasp is traveling with baggage. She has just come directly from another, from a ripe fig. That's where she just hatched. To leave her birth fig, she crawled through a narrow tunnel, collecting pollen from the male flowers along the way. With this pollen she brought with her, she now pollinates the flowers of her new home as she lays her eggs. So now her work is done. She dies inside the fig. From the eggs that the wasp laid, larvae later hatch, and each larva stays exactly in the flower where the egg was laid. The plant tissue around this flower begins to change. It forms a small swelling. This is called a gall, and it is about the size of a pinhead. This gall is both food and shelter at the same time. So the larva no longer eats the entire fig, but only the tissue of its own flower. After a few weeks, the larvae then pupate, and afterwards the adult wasps hatch. First, the males hatch. They don't even have wings, just tiny antennae and small eyes. However, with those, they never see daylight. The entire life of a male wasp takes place inside a single fig. As soon as the males hatch, they look for the galls of the females. With their strong jaws, they then cut through the gall, not to let the females out, but to get inside themselves. Afterwards, they fertilize the females. This happens before they have even hatched. And then the males bite open the anthers of the male flowers so that the pollen will later stick to the females. Yes, and afterwards they gnaw a tunnel through the wall of the fig. and it is through this tunnel that the females later leave the fig. The males themselves die right inside the fig. Only now do the females hatch. They are already fertilized and crawl through the tunnel to the outside. And in the process, pollen sticks to the body of the female. And now they take off and immediately look for an unripe green fig. Their only task is to find a new fig as quickly as possible in order to lay eggs. And now the cycle begins all over again. Female fig wasps live at most 1 to 2 days, most only a few hours, and the males live even shorter lives. They hatch, fertilize the females, dig the exit, and die. After weeks of development inside the fig, they live only a few hours. So, to sum up, fig wasps need figs in order to reproduce themselves. There are about 800 known species of fig wasps, but only one specific species can pollinate the mulberry fig. If this one species dies out, then the tree has no more pollinators and the tree becomes extinct. Yes, and the reverse is also true. And everything I've just described takes place inside the fig. We can't see any of this on a safari. We only see the fig from the outside. And as I briefly mentioned at the beginning, figs do not grow in the tree crown like apples or pears, for example. They grow directly on the trunk and on the thick branches. They hang together in dense clusters. This is called coliflory. If you want to know what that looks like, on my website safariguide.online, you can find photos of such clusters and also of the whole tree. When the figs are still unripe, they are green. Over time, they turn pale pink to yellowish, and the surface feels velvety, almost like the skin of a peach. And I can tell you about another special feature of this tree. The sycamore fig bears figs almost all year round. The reason is simple. If it only produced figs once a year, the short-lived fig wasps would die out. So, in order to maintain the population of fig wasps, each tree has to bear fruit several times a year. And that's why this happens 3 to 5 times a year. And now I'll come back once more to the flowers. As we already know, there are hundreds of tiny flowers inside the fig. And these flowers have different functions. Some of the female flowers have a short style. A style is a part of the flower, specifically the thin, elongated section that leads to the ovary, to the ovules. This is where the wasp lays its eggs. These flowers turn into small galls. I already talked about this earlier. Other female flowers, on the other hand, have a long style. Here, the wasp's ovipositor is too short. She can't lay her eggs here. But these flowers are pollinated by the pollen the wasp brings with her. Later, seeds develop from them. This means that some of the flowers become nurseries for wasps. The rest develop into seeds. After the wasps leave, the figs ripen quickly. They become soft, orange to red, and are full of sugar. A large mulberry fig can bear thousands of figs at the same time. That's several hundred kilograms, and this happens every few months. And that's exactly what makes them such an important food source for wild animals. Hardly any other tree in Africa attracts so many animals right now. Over 100 different bird species eat the figs. Crowned pigeons, for example, are fig specialists. They fly for kilometers to eat them. And back at the nest, they feed their chicks with a kind of milk made from pre-digested figs. In addition to the birds, monkeys, baboons, warthogs, antelopes, and sometimes even rhinos come as well. And if a mulberry fig stands on the riverbank and the figs fall into the water, it even attracts fish. They too are happy for some variety in their diet. At night, the fruit bats take over. They flutter through the tree canopy and also collect figs. The fruit bats are at the same time the most important seed dispersers of the mulberry fig, because a bat rarely eats in the fig tree itself. They pick figs, suck out the juice, and drop the rest along with the seeds. Birds also spread the seeds in this way. The baboons, on the other hand, eat the figs whole and excrete the seeds undigested. Yes, and that's how new fig trees keep growing. However, the mulberry fig tree also has its share of enemies. There are insects that eat its leaves, beetles that attack its fruit, and parasitic wasps that try to kill the fig wasps. The tree defends itself. It has good defense mechanisms. It fills its leaves and young figs with milky latex. It tastes bad and is also sticky. Small insects get stuck to it and die. But some insects have developed strategies to outsmart the tree. Specialized beetles bite through the main veins of a leaf. In this way, they interrupt the flow of latex, and now they can feed in peace. Another enemy of the mulberry fig is the elephant, because elephants love its bark. They tear off the bark with their tusks, and that can seriously damage the tree. Some don't survive this. And for us humans, the mulberry fig is also of great importance. In many parts of Africa, the mulberry fig is considered a sacred tree. Some communities see it as the dwelling place of ancestral spirits. Important decisions are made, gatherings are held, and stories are told beneath its canopy. The milky latex has many practical uses. In the past, it was used as bait for birds. It was smeared onto branches, and when small birds landed, they would get stuck. An old hunting method, which fortunately is now banned in many countries. The latex is also used in traditional medicine, often together with the bark, for example, for chest, gland, throat, or stomach ailments. The wood is soft and light. It is used for simple furniture, bowls, and drums. And precisely because the wood is so soft, it is also quite suitable for fire drilling, that is, for lighting a fire by friction. And this episode about the sycamore fig was a bit complicated today, but at least a little shorter than usual. In my opinion, it's always worth spending a little more time at a sycamore fig. I then take out the binoculars and observe. Birds fly into the crown, others are already sitting there and eating. The figs show different stages of ripeness, and somewhere in the branches, a monkey might be moving. If you look closely, you'll discover more life on a single tree than on many kilometers of driving. Thank you for joining me on Safari today. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to support the Safari Guide, please check out my Patreon page. With your financial support, you help me continue this podcast independently and ad-free. And in doing so, you make it possible for new episodes to feature deeper research and even more stories from the world of safaris. Because that's what this is all about, not just seeing animals, but understanding them. You can find the link in the show notes. Thank you very much. Until the next episode, Frank, your safari guide.